Well, the power cuts are having an impact on the provision of adequate water supply in various parts of South Africa. Residents have been urged to lower their use of water to reduce pressure on pump stations in areas such as Tshwane, for instance. Gift of the Givers founder, Dr. Imtia Suleiman, has worked with various communities dealing with several water crises over the years, some of which are linked to the power cuts. Dr. Suleiman, a very good evening to you. Grateful for your time. As someone who has his eye on the ground and is able to see when communities are struggling with issues such as the provision, reliable supply of basic drinking water, how much is load shedding made things worse?
Good evening, Temekile. It has caused havoc. There is no other way to explain it. It's caused havoc and it's caused a flurry of calls to our call centers. Our teams, our officers, our call center is just bombarded with calls, people saying we have a water crisis. On Friday night was the first major issue. We got the call from Kakamas in the Northern Cape. And there, you know, we learned that 7 people passed on. The additional factor which is aggravating the situation is the intense heat in various parts of the countries. So with the load shedding and the intense heat, we find that water availability is substantially reduced either through evaporation or non-delivery. And in many cases, there is water. It just can't be delivered. Mm-hmm. Because of the prolonged load shedding hours, the reservoirs can't get full. And when they're not full, the pumping system of the municipality fails. So that's a failure on the one side. Secondly, you think you have an alternative. You have boreholes. But many people have those boreholes on Eskom also. So because the load shedding affects, those boreholes cannot function. Then the municipalities who are trying really hard to deliver water in tankers don't have enough tankers. And the next problem they have is that because the water empties so fast, they can't wait for people to take it from a truck, which means many communities will not get water. So they've asked for help for putting up JoJo tents. And again, that's not enough. We've helped with water tankers, boreholes, JoJo tanks, bottled water. The old age homes is a problem. The physically and mentally challenged is a problem. The school toilets not functioning is a problem. So yes, to answer your question, load shedding has caused havoc.
You mentioned the issue of even schools being affected by these water disruptions. That then poses a risk, does it not, of other outbreaks of water-related diseases if the situation is not remedied immediately?
Yes, Daniel, you know, when we were busy involved in Kebeha in May, that's another major problem. That city is in serious trouble. You know, the dam levels are averaging about 7% collectively, so they're in serious trouble. And when we were there in May, putting in 45 boreholes, the school's principals, relating to your question, said directly, we can survive without drinking water, but we can't survive without sanitation. We can't send our children to school if the school sanitation system doesn't work. We'll have an outbreak of infection. And then you need to send the people for infection to clinics and hospitals. But the clinics and hospitals are also affected. Many procedures have stopped. Many areas are non-functional because of the huge amount of many hours that water cuts take place, and because you can't replenish the system in time before the next load shedding steps in. So there's a problem with the schools, the clinics, and the hospitals. And the other thing is, when you die, you know, you want to be buried with dignity. And the funeral homes or funeral parlors have been calling because they've been affected. They can't wash the bodies. There's no water.
We were speaking earlier to a security expert who was saying the other concern now is that we're likely to see an increase in crimes such as burglaries, even hijackings in some communities, because even criminals are now starting to seize on, especially the longer, more extended periods of these power outages.
Well, that's already happening. You know, that's, you know, in many areas, because we had a burglary. Why go far? We had a burglary in our own offices simply because of load shedding. The alarm batteries died, and you know, it was just immediately after the school holidays, and we hadn't installed the inverter as yet. But how many people can install inverters? You know, it's a big question. So yes, the electricity, the load shedding is affecting security systems. It's affecting security and lighting at night in streets and homes. It becomes a high risk to get into your own driveway, to drive down the street at night. So that is a great additional risk with load shedding.
Mm. And Gauteng, for instance, you've got load shedding, you've got issues around water supply, which is also exacerbated by load shedding. You've got currently a heat wave. Some areas are still dealing with drought conditions. Is help coming fast enough and in large enough quantities?
No, help is not coming fast enough. The help is based on the existing model of trying to make best use of what's available. Yeah, again, there are several factors, you know, affecting this. That the number of people in areas are now more desperate for water because of the heat, so they need more water in a shorter time period. The boreholes are not functioning, which means there's lots less water available to go to more areas. And again, it's because the municipal pipes and infrastructure are not working, the reservoirs are not pumping, so you need the same amount of water plus more because of the heat, but your delivery system is substantially curtailed because of all these factors that I've just mentioned to you. There are solutions. And the immediate solution, of course, is to start putting solar panels on all the boreholes. And all the boreholes that organizations have drilled, or the municipalities have drilled, or individual people have put in their homes or in their farmlands, they need to put solar panels. And in addition to putting the solar panels on, it's a call to the entire country that those of you who do this, please share your water, so you know what everybody who needs it. People who take water, we need to save and not be wasteful. But I can't even say they're wasting water because they're not getting the water to waste in the first place. Mm. So, you know, whatever water is available, we need to share that, and especially think of the old people who can't walk the water tankers.
Right.
The third thing is, you know, we need more water tankers. We need more JoJo tanks. And to be honest, if 300 million rand is made available, we can drill boreholes in all the important areas of the affected communities in the country, put the solar panels, put the JoJo tanks, and we can make a huge difference. But this thing costs money. We've already drilled more than 500 boreholes. And remember, we're also supplying the animals. Agriculture is affected. Farming is affected. GDP is affected. Jobs are affected.
And whichever way you look at it, Doctor, this is a crisis that affects disproportionately South Africans who earn less, or especially the poorest of the poor, right? You were just mentioning costs associated with the installation of solar panels. You look at people inability to get inverter systems, for example. You look at security, private security, and the alternatives around that for those who fear that crime could spike as a result of the energy crisis. And in that situation, it is still the people who are already so poor before the situation who will suffer most.
That's the normal trend that goes happens in any country, unfortunately. And that's the reality and effect of life. The poor people suffer, no electricity, no water, difficult schooling, difficult health services, difficulty in transport, the cost goes up. Even now to get water, they pay people to exploit the situation. An old person has to pay a young person 10 rand to collect the water from them. People deliver water which is infected, it's dirty. You pay up to 400 rand for that infected water. So unfortunately, we have opportunists who have no compassion, you know, who have no ethics, who have no spirituality, who prey on those who are in difficult situations. And what can people do in this desperate times? But as I said, let's put the boreholes in. Those who have it, put the solar panels. Let's share the system. And maybe Eskom can look at the way in certain areas, they can't do it everywhere. I mean, they also got a crisis where we can maybe take the pressure off certain reservoirs throughout the country so we have less pressure, at least some water functional in some municipalities in some parts of the country.
MTS Suleiman, good to speak to you, Doctor, founder of the Gift of the Givers.